السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa. Last week we were discussing fitnas in the ummah. I mentioned that we did discuss this subject some time back, but when a sickness and a disease increases in a society, then the need arises to discuss it more and more. One doctor once phoned and said that there is an epidemic, which we all know, and that is of AIDS. So therefore, the ulama should discuss at least 5 minutes after every namaz on AIDS. After every namaz, the ulama should speak in every masjid for about 5 minutes on AIDS. Now we get this type of requests. Why? Because that doctor feels that that is the sickness of the ummah, or it is a very serious problem of the community at large. And even if an alim has to discuss that every day, 5 minutes, after every namaz, he considers that as something that is acceptable, something that should be tolerated, something that should be understood according to him in its proper context. So we can see that whoever considers whichever sickness as a serious one, then he wants a repetition. The lesson that I took from that was that he wants a repetition. Although that is not the solution to the problem, but the thing is that he's talking about a repetition. That when a person will go on talking about something, then it will drive the point home. So when there is an increase in fitnas in the ummah, so there is a need for discussion repeatedly from different angles on the fitnas of the times. Last week we discussed quite a number of fitnas which are coming in the garb and in the shape and form of deen. People are not even realizing it, that this is a fitna. When we are invited to the fundraising dinners, FUN, when we are invited to fundraising dinners, although there will be people who will pop out funds, FUNDS, but the majority of the whole context of that program is fun, enjoyment. Enjoy the dinner, enjoy socializing, sit together. One is a person is traveling out and suddenly he ends up somewhere where he has to eat in a restaurant or a hotel or something of that nature, then that is understandable. It is a necessity, it is a need. So there will be others sitting around with their wives and sisters and daughters. But when we tell the ummah that send your families, send your sisters, send your mothers, send your aunties and grannies, and send your beautiful wives, or come with them, and we will have a dinner together. Why? To raise some funds for an Islamic project. Now can you understand how this fitna is coming? It is coming in the name of deen. that we won this project or we are holding this function so that we may raise funds for dini projects. So this is a major fitna, because the person is not going to make tawbah from it, where his wife and his daughters and his sisters are going to be meeting, intermingling freely, socializing, getting to know each other. So why are they going to make tawbah? They're not going to consider it as a sin, so they are not going to make tawbah. It's a fitna. And if ulama are going to stop talking on it, or talking about it, then this fitna is going to spread. Just as those who are concerned about AIDS, and everyone is concerned, but the solution to the problem of AIDS is not the promotion of what they term as safe sex. That is not the solution to the problem. Shariat says, وَلَا تَقَرَبُ الزِّنَا. Don't even go close to zina. These functions which are held, what are they doing? Are they not bringing us close to zina? If not the real zina, actual zina, is it not bringing us to the zina of the eyes? Are we not promoting that? Yes, others that are going to the fairs and bazaars and marketplaces, that is a different thing. That those marketplaces, bazaars, they are not controlled by us. And there is a need to go and do some shopping, buying, selling. So there we said, control your gaze to the best of your ability, and wherever is necessary to see, then there to have the fear and khawf and khashiyah, that heart of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But what I am saying is that in the name of deen, those programs that we hold for the promotion of deeni causes against the will of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, against the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then that is a fitna. And it is becoming very rife in our community, and it is spreading. We may not be able to stop everybody, but those who are really concerned about their own islah, then they can stop themselves and their own families. That whatever may have happened in the past, we have committed sin, O Allah, we displeased you, we ask you for forgiveness, but in future, we are going to restrain ourselves. So that much we all can do. Nobody can force us. Nobody is going to handcuff us and drag us to those functions. At the most, we may get some comment, some criticism, some joke that will be made of us. These people are still living in the camel age. So what does it matter? But we can prevent ourselves. If not, then we are actually doing that which the Quran Sharif is saying we should not be doing. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. And I mentioned to you what type of things take place. So when the fitnas come in the garb of deen, in the shape and form of deen, then a person will consider it as an ibadat. And when you consider it as an ibadat, then just imagine where is iman after that. When a sin is considered ibadat, how serious a matter it is. AIDS, at the most, the person will go into qabr, the person will lose his life. If he did not get treatment in time, then there will be some physical suffering. We don't say it is not a problem. And many people are getting caught innocently. Little children are getting caught because of the blood or because of the parents suffering from it. Or even others because of the injection needles and many other reasons. So we don't say that any person and every person who is suffering from AIDS is a major sinner and we should condemn him and reject him, because we don't have that right to judge. However, those who are indulging in those kinds of sins which normally cause these diseases, then of course they have to be concerned. So at the most, AIDS will lead to death. But when the person loses his iman, then it is not going to only lead to death, or is not going to only lead to problems in this worldly life, but even in the qabr, in the akhirat, and the person is going to end up in jahannam. So at least there must be a realization. We must scan ourselves. Man has made so many different kinds of inventions. There are thermometers, there are barometers, there are scans for the brains and scan for the heart and scan for the bones and scan for the spine and every kind of scan that you can think of. Why? They want to detect the disease. They want to find out where the problem is. So all these different kinds of scanners that we have and the different kinds of machinery that has been produced, because the person is concerned that he must have physical health, then he will go for all these different kinds of scans. And there's nothing wrong with it for the person, for his physical health, if he does that. There's nothing wrong, because we need physical health to carry out the ibadat and to carry out our duties of life and to fulfill the function and responsibilities that Allah Ta'ala has created us for. If we are not going to have physical health, then how are we going to fulfill all those duties? So there's nothing wrong with that. But the amount of concern that we show for that, should we not show more concern for our spiritual bodies? Did we ever take a scan of our spiritual bodies? Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has kept the Quran Sharif and the Hadith Sharif as the scanners for that. They bring our spiritual bodies in front of those scans and see where we are going wrong. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is asking for protection from fitnas. These fitnas are tests also. In the true meaning that they are tests, Allah Ta'ala says your wealth and your children are tests. So fitnas can be of different kinds. But the most dangerous fitna is this, when it comes in the form of deen. Because then the person is not going to make tawbah from that sin that he is indulging in. In fact, he is going to put up a resistance, he is going to argue with others, and he is going to say that what we are doing is deen. Whereas they know fully well that that is not deen. So there must be no justification for our weakness, for our sins. If that much we can do is make a i'tiraf of qusur before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then that also is a giant leap towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's closeness and marifat. If only we can make a i'tiraf of our qusur, admission of weakness, we have in the courts of law admission of guilt. The person was stopped somewhere, he was fined, says you were traveling at 130 kilometers per hour in a 120 zone, so therefore you are going to be given this fine. But if you don't want fish to appear in court, then admission of guilt, sign and give it. So they make admission of guilt that indeed I am guilty of this offense. So before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, why do we feel ashamed to make admission of sins? When before the courts of law in our land, we are making so many times admission of guilt. How many times we make an admission of guilt and we pay the fine? And here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not even asking us to pay any fine besides the huququl la, huququl ibad, those type of things, those type of sins where there are namaz, roza, zakat, hajj. Then all we are told is now make the qaza, pay the zakat. If you haven't made hajj, then go for hajj. If you haven't paid the zakat, then pay the zakat. But Allah Ta'ala is not fining us more than that. If a person didn't pay 5,000 rand zakat, now he's making sincere tawbah, then how much must he pay? Does he now have to pay 10% interest on each amount overdue? Say if Allah Ta'ala had to charge us interest now. Look at Allah Ta'ala's ihsan and mercy upon us. The person hasn't paid zakat for 50 years. Now he made tawbah, istighfar, and he realized his mistake, then whatever is due, you pay that. Nothing more than that. If he missed out 10 rozas, then you don't have to keep 20 rozas as qaza. If the person missed out 100 namazes, does he have to make now 500 namazes because he's making it after 10 years? So Allah Ta'ala is not even fining us, he's not even charging us. All he is saying, admit your guilt and say that I am indeed guilty of this offense. Kabhi ta'aton ka surur hai, kabhi aitraaf qusoor hai. Kabhi ta'aton ka surur hai, kabhi aitraaf qusoor hai. ہے ملک کو جس کی نہیں خبر وہ حضور میرا حضور ہے. کبھی طاعتوں کا سرور ہے. سم ٹائم دا پرسن از انجوائنگ دا طاعت دا عبادت دا ذکر دا تلاوت اینڈ سم ٹائمز میکنگ اعتراف آف قصور ایڈمیشن آف گلٹ انڈیڈ دیر از اے ویکنس او اللہ دیر از اے شارٹ کمنگ ان می انڈیڈ او مائی اللہ آئی ہیو انڈلجڈ ان دوز تھنگز ویچ آر ڈس پلیزنگ ٹو یو آئی شوڈ ناٹ ہیو ڈن دیٹ بیکاز یو آر مائی کریئٹر یو آر مائی خالق یو آر مائی مالک I used each and every part of my body which is blessed by you for your disobedience. So I'm making a taraf of qusur. The wealth which I gained, how did I gain it? Either I got it through my intelligence, so where did the intelligence come from? If I worked hard, then who gave me the strength in the body to work hard? And if I got it as inheritance, then who caused me to be born in that home that I got that inheritance? There are so many women and so many men who live in shacks and they eat dry bread. Sometimes they don't even have that and they pass away. What inheritance do those children get? So if you got properties as inheritance or you got thousands of dollars as inheritance, then again who is it that caused us to be born in that particular home and that family that we got that inheritance? And if somebody gave it as a gift, then who put it into the heart and mind of that person that go and give so and so this gift? Why did he not take that gift and go and give it to somebody else? So at the end of the day, it is again from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So we're using the bounties of Allah ta'ala, the ni'mats of Allah ta'ala, the gifts of Allah ta'ala, which are priceless. What price can we put? What price tag can we put on sight? What price tag can we put on brains and aqal, intelligence? If somebody says, I will give you 10 million rands, but give me your brains, or your aqal, your intelligence, you rather spend the rest of the time in the madhouse, will somebody be prepared to do that? Even if he gives much more than that, he said, what am I going to do as a madman? And of what benefit will that wealth be to me? So Allah Ta'ala's ni'mats, Allah Ta'ala's bounties, Allah Ta'ala's gifts we use for His disobedience. So all Allah Ta'ala says is make a'tiraf of qusur, admit it. Say, indeed, I am sinful. Don't justify sins. This is a very, it's worse than AIDS and cancer and every kind of sickness that you can think of for a mu'min and a Muslim to justify his sin. It is the worst sin that he can commit. The justification of sin is the worst sin. Imagine before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala if we have to say, Ya Allah, what are you telling us that I'm sinning? I'm not sinning. That is what it amounts to. That when the person is justifying his sin, knowing fully well it is a sin. If there is a difference of opinion, somebody says it is sinful, somebody says it's not sinful, somebody says it's permissible, somebody says not permissible, then you follow the mufti that you have confidence and trust in. I'm talking about those things which have been declared openly in the Quran Sharif and the Hadith Sharif as sins. Then to find justification, to twist and turn the ayat of the Quran Sharif. To say, no, it means this and it means that. Why? Because we are living in an environment where we cannot help these things. Yes, that which we can't help, it is beyond our control. Then we will say that there is at least some laxity or a little bit of justification that the person got caught up, now he makes a lot of tawbah, istighfar. But where there is no need for it, then how can we say that it is our environment? زمانہ ہم کو بدل سکے یہ زمانے میں دم نہیں زمانہ ہم کو بدل سکے یہ زمانے میں دم نہیں زمانہ ہم سے ہے ہم زمانے سے نہیں زمانہ must not change us, the environment must not change us. What kind of رجال are we? Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, رجال اللہ تلہیہم تجارتم ولا بھائی. Mard hai, rijal hai, that their transactions don't divert them from the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In other words, they don't do anything in the earning of that wealth or the spending of that wealth which is haram and najais. Then they are rijal. then what kind of believers are we if we all the time say environment, environment, environment? Then who is going to change the environment? If we are going to flow with the tide and blow with the wind and move with the times, then who is going to change the environment? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, did he move with the environment? The Sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, they went to foreign lands. Was the environment conducive for the practice of Islam? But wherever they went, they changed the environment. Let us present a picture before the ummah and before the disbelievers and before those who have got no connection with Islam. Let us show them that this is Islam and why. Then we can... There was an article in one newspaper in England when I was there, in which one of the priests of the church, an Anglican priest, he wrote that article. And he is stating in there that at present the number of women that are coming to the church showing so much of their flesh and bodies that I don't think the congregation can really put their mind to worship of God. Now this is what he's saying. And I think there should be some kind of segregation. Of course, I mean, nobody's going to listen to him, and they will all come up with a lot of objections. But they are now admitting that there's something wrong, that in the church they should not be standing together. The women should be going to the back, or there should be some kind of segregation because they can't, there's no concentration. So then we can tell them that this is the reason why we say separate facilities for the women, separate facilities. Whether there are cabinet ministers there, or whether the prime minister is there, or whether it is the president of some superpower that is there, but if we have organized that function, if the Muslims have organized that function, if some non-Muslims have organized it, it's beyond our control. But if Muslims have organized it, then they say, why is this? There's no equality here of sexes. We can see that the ladies, we can't see them where they are. Then we tell them, yes, that is the reason why we say that. That is the beauty of the teaching of Islam, that we respect your sisters, we respect your mothers, we respect your wives. And we wish you to do the same with regards to ours. We do not wish to harbor any kind of filthy thoughts about your wives and your sisters. And there are so many other things that we can tell them. But if we say that no, they will laugh at us. They will say, how can these people behave like this? So then, who do we blame for that? So what I am saying is that this is a major fitna of our times. And since you come here for the purpose of Islah, if I'm not going to tell you that these are fitnas, then on the day of Qiyamah, I will also be answerable. It is our duty to put it before you. Whether a person accepts or doesn't accept, that is, hidayat is not in our hands. But it is our experience that alhamdulillah, by repeatedly informing, there are large numbers of people who are making tawbah from the sins which they did not even recognize as sins in the past. They didn't recognize it as sin. In fact, they thought it was deen. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching us this dua, Allahumma inna na'uzu bika min al-fitan ma zahara minha wa ma batan. These fitnas are coming from all sides. In Makkah Sharif, at the house of a prominent Arab person whose father was an alim. When I went there, then he is telling me, he says, anything wrong with listening to bhajan from India? He says, I got nothing to do with their aqaid and their beliefs, but the bhajan that is played now and again, I listen to it. I put the TV on and I listen to it. Kaaba Sharif is 10 meters away from there, 150 or just 50 meters away from there. Can you see how fitnas are coming? And then what he tells me, he says, we are very fortunate that whatever we do, Allah Ta'ala will not call us to account, because the multazam is just there. Is that why Allah Ta'ala gave us the door of Tawbah? To commit sins and then say we'll make Tawbah. Burn our hands and say we got ointment. We got for burns at home. Burn all. So let us keep burning because we got ointment at home. Let us keep smashing our cars because our neighbor is a panel beater. Where is our aqal at that time? Why don't we do such stupid and foolish things? But when it comes to Tawbah, then we say the doors of Tawbah are open. So what does it matter? Let me see this one more time. After that I'll make Tawbah. Let me steal one more time, then I'll make Tawbah. Let me do this. Let me commit adultery and fornication one more time, then I'll make Tawbah. This is a very dangerous sin, because the tawfiq of Tawbah can be taken away and the person could die in that state without Tawbah. It is playing with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's mercy. Allah Ta'ala is very merciful, irrespective of how much of sins the person has committed. But if he says, makes a taraf of qusur, he sheds a few tears of repentance before Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala is prepared to accept him and take him back. Allah doesn't reject him. There's no such thing as rejected person. Until, of course, he doesn't see the angels of death. Allah Ta'ala has kept the doors of Tawbah open so that nobody in the creation will despair of Allah Ta'ala's mercy. Allah Ta'ala ki yahan mayusi nahi hai. So Allah Ta'ala is so grateful, I mean so merciful and so forgiving and so generous, that the person who made kufr and shirk for 99 years of his life, and 2 minutes before his death, when he did not know that he's going to die, he got hidayat and he read the kalima without reading one namaz, without keeping one fast, without giving one cent zakat. If the person dies, then he goes straight to Jannat. What an Allah we have. All the filth goes into the waters of the ocean, and one wave keeps the water clean and park. Just one wave of Allah Ta'ala's rahmat and everything is over. So Allah Ta'ala has got that mercy, and those doors of mercy open for weak ones like us. But that is where this accidental sin, the person tries his best, he's making the effort, the correct effort. If you want to go to Cape Town, then you cannot sit in the plane that's going to Johannesburg purposely and then say, I will read 40,000 Yasin Khatams so that the plane reaches Cape Town. Even if you read 40,000 Yasins, you'll still read Johannesburg. Yes, sometimes miracle can happen that the weather changed and they announce that due to turbulent weather, we are now going to land at Cape Town Airport. That can happen. But if not, that is where you'll end up. So we have to sit in that plane and then make dua that, Ya Allah, take me to Cape Town safely. So making the correct effort, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala opens those doors. Then accidents can happen. The person is driving very, very carefully and he's got a very good car. He's checked the tire pressure, he's checked the oil, he's checked everything. There is petrol in it. It's a brand new car. And he's driving safely too. So does it mean no accident can happen? All the people who meet up with accidents, are they only those who have kataras that they are driving? Chalti ka naam gaadi. They are sometimes driving very good cars, brand new ones, just out of the box. Or should we say out of the garage. But still accidents can happen. So in a Muslim's life, we don't deny accidents can happen. But nobody makes purposely accidents. Unless he wants to claim some insurance policy. Then they make purposely also accidents. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is prepared to forgive no matter how much of sins, and that again how many times you have heard, but if it's going to come 100 times in my mind, I'm going to repeat 100 times. Ye kushti to hai unse umr bhar ki, kabhi tu dabale, kabhi wo dabale. This wrestling match with shaitan will go on and on till your dying day. Sometimes he's going to overpower you and sometimes you're going to overpower shaitan. Sometimes he's going to knock you down and sometimes you're going to knock him down and flatten him. Umra barki, until the dying day he's not going to leave us. He's going to keep on whispering.
जो नाकाम होता रहे उम्र भर भी बहरहाल कोशिश तो आशिक न छोड़े जो नाकाम होता रहे उम्र भर भी बहरहाल कोशिश तो आशिक न छोड़े ये रिश्ता मोहब्बत का कायम ही रखे जो सौ बार टूटे तो सौ बार जोड़े
जो नाकाम होता रहे उम्र भर भी Life long if you keep falling, life long if you find yourself unsuccessful in flattening and flooring and overpowering and knocking out shaitan, then too don't despair. Ye rishta muhabbat ka qaim hi rakhe. Keep on making aitraf of qusur. That, oh Allah, I'm trying, but the shaitan again overpowered me. I tried my best to restrain myself and resist the temptation. But I fell for temptation and I got caught up in the sin again, Ya Allah. But I don't wish to remain in the gutters. I want to come out of it. Oh Allah, get me out of this fitna that I am embroiled in. Rishta muhabbat fa qaim hi rakhi. If a person has had some problem, then does he just cut off his relationship with his beloved? He will cry, he will beg, he will force. He will say, please make me maaf, forgive me. So worldly beloveds, we go out of our way to seek forgiveness from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Who can be more beloved than Allah? So there, we just break off that relationship with Him. Because we say we have committed a lot of sin, and now that Allah Ta'ala cannot forgive us, so what's the sense of keeping on trying? So just give up hope now and finish. Carry on doing whatever we are doing. रिश्ता मोहब्बत का कायम ही रखे जो सौ बार टूटे तो सौ बार जोड़े इट ब्रेक्स 100 टाइम्स स्नैप्स 100 टाइम्स जॉइन दैट कॉर्ड अगेन 100 टाइम्स इनफैक्ट इट इज सेड दैट व्हेन दे आर वीविंग देन दैट थ्रेड व्हिच स्नैप्स देन द पर्सन कीप्स एन आई ऑन दैट थ्रेड व्हिच ही हैज जॉइंड इट स्नैप्ड ही जॉइंड इट So now he keeps more eye on that thread than all the others. Why? Because there is a weakness here now, so he wants to see it go through safely. So that person whose tawbah broke accidentally, and now he joined that relationship with his Allah again, Allah Ta'ala has got more nazar of rahmat on this person, that this servant of mine had gone far away, he has come back to me. So there's no such thing as despair. My dear young friends, there's no despair. But let us not be persistent. Let us not look for sins. Many times I've said that at present we look for sins. We go out in search of sins. It's like going out in search of an accident. The person is going out what for? He's going out to search for an accident. He wants to go and hit his car somewhere. So going to the cinema, going to the theater, going to the gambling dens, going to those shows which are haram, it is like going out in search of sins because the person cannot be making an accident from his home right up till day he's making an accident. Allah Ta'ala has given him aqal, alright, so he made a mistake, he left home. Where is he going? He's going to some prostitute quarters or he's going to casino or he's going to some disco or some rave club or some haram establishment. Now he left from home. Now it's going to take him 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour, he'll have to queue up there for some tickets or whatever it may be. But it's going to take him time from the home up till there. So all along the way he can use his aqal and intelligence. That I made a mistake, I left my home now for that sin. But Allah Ta'ala is watching. What if my death comes in that place? Would I like my janazah to come out from a rave club? Would I like my janazah to come out from a prostitute quarters? Would I like my janazah to come out from an escort agency? Would I like my janazah to come out from the cinema and a disco? And don't I have before me examples of deaths in discos and deaths in cinemas? On Eid day, did not 2,000 people cramp up in that theater, in that cinema in Bangladesh? And then what happened? Who does not know? So would I like my janaza to come out from now? So he can use his aqal and now go back home. Make 2 rakat salatu tawbah. If he had a ticket, tear it up. Even if it cost him 500 rands, tearing up that ticket, he will get ajar and reward on that. That won't be israf. Allah Ta'ala will replace it with his muhabbat. This is the first thing. And when Allah Ta'ala will say, I love you for what you did, you think Allah Ta'ala will deprive him of ni'mats of dunya after that? Those people who are saying that they want barakat in the rizq, this is the secret of barakat in rizq, that please the one who gives the rizq. The son who is pleasing the father, the child who is pleasing the parents, and the parents are rich, they've got everything, and the son is really pleasing them. Then will that father say, let me take him out of my will? Will that father say that? That I don't want to have anything to do with this son or with this daughter of mine. Chop their names out from my last will and testament. And I rather make a bequest to my cat. One lady died in England and she left a couple million for the cat or for a dog. Now that dog is going to enjoy lifelong the inheritance. Because they lead a dog's life all their life, so they leave the inheritance also for those dogs. Those who eat pork, then they lead a dog's life. So Allah Ta'ala gave us Islam, Allah Ta'ala gave us Sharia, Allah Ta'ala gave us our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beautiful deen. So now these parents are not going to take that name off. They will give that son and that child whatever they can during their lifetime also, and after their death also they will make sure that they get proper inheritance. Why? Because the parents are pleased. So when human beings are pleased in this world, then they don't deprive those who tried to please them. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who is the one who blesses us with all the ni'mats, do we think that if we are going to please him, then he is going to cut our name off from risk and sustenance, or from the ni'mats of this world, or from the happiness and joy of life, or from serenity and sukoon and tranquility of the heart? Allah Ta'ala will give it into the heart, because that is the place that the person enjoys that sukoon or enjoys the ni'mats, and that is the place that he will have the pain and problem. So barbaad mohabbat ko na barbaad karenge, barbaad mohabbat ko na barbaad karenge, mere dil na shaad ko wo shaad karenge. I've already smashed my heart to smithereens. There were so many beautiful faces that were coming in front of me, but I lowered my gaze. What kind of pain must have come on my heart? There was so much of haram wealth that I could have gained by fraudulent deals, but I took the pain on my heart and I let go of that deal, no matter how much of benefit it was giving me in the worldly sense. And on so many other issues, I took the pain on my heart, but I did not displease my Allah Ta'ala. So barbaade muhabbat ko na barbaad karenge. Now Allah Ta'ala will not cause any further destruction to come upon that person's heart, his spiritual heart. Allah Ta'ala will give that person happiness now in that heart. Allah Ta'ala will give that person joy in that heart. Again, that example, that if there is a disaster, floods, earthquake, gale force wind has brought about destruction, and the government has declared that area a disaster area, then the government says that now this is a disaster area, so we will give you funds, we will give you money. Or we will give you cement and sand and blocks and bricks to put up your buildings again. Why? Because it's a disaster area. So that person whose heart was struck as if with a bolt of lightning, when he restrained himself from haram, there was the most beautiful face that came, but the person said, no, my Allah will become displeased, so therefore he lowered his gaze. So his heart was smashed. It became a disaster area. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will now declare that heart of his a disaster area. And he is not going to give you cement and sand after that for reconstruction. Allah Ta'ala will give his noor. Allah Ta'ala will give his noor to reconstruct that heart. What a kind of heart that will be then. These are not fantasies, my dear young friends. It's not fantasy world that I'm talking about. It's a reality. People have experienced it, and you and I can experience it. And all it requires is just a few steps towards Allah Ta'ala. Just two steps, in fact. One step on our nafs, and one on shaitan, and we are there. Just two steps. One on our nafs, on our egos, on our passions, and the other one on shaitan. In fact, it's just one step, and that is on the nafs. Because shaitan became shaitan because of his nafs. Shaitan became shaitan because of his nafs. Now, is that a very difficult prescription? Is it something that is beyond a person's means? Irrespective of what the environment is. Yes, then there will still be some weakness, some shortcoming because of the environment. Those things beyond our control, then we will say that they make plenty of istighfar and tawbah. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows what is the weakness of ours in our society. So he is going to forgive us for that. But as far as the effort is concerned for reformation and change, big, big speeches, lengthy speeches and talks and conferences and seminars and all, at the end of the day, what is it bringing into our hearts? How much of noor is coming into our hearts? One alim was told to give a speech in Lahore. When he went to Lahore, they told him he must give one bayan on Jummah day. So this alim said that I haven't really made any preparation for the bayan, because there they have almost 1 hour bayan. So he said, isme taiyari ki kya zarurat hai, wo Bush ko do galiya de do, Benazir ko do gali de do, aur wo dusre kuch hukam ko do char galiya de do, ho gaya Jummah ka bayan isme. So what you need preparation in that? 2-3 curses on Bush, 2-3 curses on Blair, 2-3 curses on Benazir Bhutto, at that time she was there, and 2-3 curses on this minister and that minister, your Jummah bayan is over. So now with that kind of bayan, any noor will come into the heart. What noor will come into the heart of the listeners? We don't say that there's no place for it. There is definitely a place for it, that we must know what's happening in the world, and we must be aware of the plots and plans and ploys of our enemies, all that is in its place. But what I am emphasizing is this, that all our bayans, all our talks, all our speeches, everything, just what Bush said, what Blair said, what Sharon said, what this one said, what that one said, then when are we going to find out what the Quran says and what Rasulullah SAW says, what our Allah says, what his Nabi says? In whose bayan and in whose speech and in whose nasihats will you get noor? And are we not in need of that noor? So there is a place for everything. Why I'm mentioning is this, is that sometimes shaitan whispers into our ears that whenever we come to this majlis of Islam, then we don't hear anything about Bush and Blair. If you want to hear about Bush and Blair, then go to some Bush, you'll hear about it. That's where the animals live. So every majlis has got a different flavor and a different purpose and a different maqsad. If from this majlis a few people also get up with that azm, with that intention, with that commitment that, Ya Allah, we have indeed sinned, we have harmed our own souls, and now we are making this commitment that we are not going to return to those sins, like that brother did last week on the Thursday night. He says, I've been giving up one sin after the other. Alhamdulillah, I gave up everything, but still that addiction to Hindi music was not leaving my life. He says, but on Thursday night when you gave that bayan in which you spoke about that hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that when the person's good deeds please him and bad deeds displease him and affect him and hurt him, then that is iman. He says, I went home, took all those tapes, Hindi music tapes that I had, and I smashed them, crushed them. And I made tawbah. I said, now that's the end. So every now and again I get those kind of reports. So So if I had to only speak about Bhushan, Blair, Bhushan, Blair, what would have, would this person have given up his sins? So this is a majlis for Islah, where we X-ray and scan our own selves. We have done enough scanning of the world, enough scanning of everybody else. Now it's time that we scan ourselves, that where am I in this ummah that I'm talking about all the time, that the ummah is indulging in this and indulging in that, but what am I doing? Am I not part of that ummah? And if we are going to make sincere tawbah and return to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then it means that we are adopting taqwa. And when we are going to adopt taqwa, then what does the Quran Sharif say? وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. The person who will adopt taqwa, Allah Ta'ala will definitely, most certainly find a way out for him in all his problems. Whatever difficulty, problem, Allah Ta'ala will find a way out for him. And Allah Ta'ala will provide for him rizq and sustenance from sources which he had not even imagined. Allah Ta'ala will provide. But when will taqwa come? When we make sincere tawbah from all sins. And all sins include that if we are owing people monies, or if we have harmed or injured any person without justification, then we must ask that person for forgiveness or pay back whatever is due to that person. If not, there will be no barakat in the risk that we are earning. If the person has already taken many, many people for a ride, and now he made tawbah, then he said, but I'm making tawbah, as from now on I'm not going to steal any money. For all what I stole, that all I made tawbah from. So that is not sufficient. That is again the same thing. Billi ninnanwe chuhe kaagar pe rajku chali. After eating 99 rats, then the cat said that now I rather go and make one hajj so that I can make tawbah at Arafat, because I heard that at Arafat whoever makes tawbah, all sins are forgiven and you return like the day you were newly born. So this cat says that all these rats that I digested, so let me go and make tawbah. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. I was going to discuss some more hadiths on fitna, but I always believe and truly believe that whatever Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala puts into the mind with your barakat and with your du'as, it is beneficial for me, for you, and for listeners. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma aftah lana bil khair wa akhtim lana bil khair wa ja'al awaqiba umurina bil khair. بيدك الخير انك على كل شيء قدير. اے میرے پیارے مولا, او مائی رحیم اللہ, او مائی کریم اللہ, او مائی موسٹ فورگیونگ اللہ, کمپیشنیٹ کائنڈ لونگ اللہ, فورگیو ایچ اینڈ ایوری ون آف اس. وی آر میکنگ اعتراف آف قصور اوور اللہ, وی آر میکنگ ایڈمیشن آف گلٹ اوور اللہ, وی آر پلیڈنگ گلٹی بیفور یو. Ya Allah, we are not justifying any of our sins. Protect us and safeguard us from justifying any of our sins. Ya Allah, forgive our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Oh Allah, sins of our hands, feet, eyes, ears, nose, sins of our tongue, sins of our heart and mind. Ya Allah, forgive us, forgive our parents, our wives and children, and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, give us the realization that the day we please you, our conditions will change. Ya Allah, give us the realization that there can never be happiness, joy and satisfaction in sins. Ya Allah, distance us from sins. Put the hatred of sins into our hearts. Put the love of good deeds into our hearts. Bless us with long life, with good health, with prosperity, with happiness, with contentment, with satisfaction. Bless us, O Allah, with your qurb, with your marifat, with your yaqeen, with tawakkul in you. O my beloved Allah, give us the ishq of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, give us the best of this world and the best of akhirat. Remove the difficulties, the trials, the hardships that the Muslim ummah is facing around the world, especially in Palestine, in Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Afghanistan, India and Pakistan, Africa and all parts of the world. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties of the Ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those who are sick and ailing, give them cure. We are spiritually sick and physically ill. Give us cure from all our ailments, sicknesses and diseases. Oh my beloved Allah, those who are suffering depression, give them joy and happiness. Those who are poverty stricken, give them wealth. Those who are weak, give them strength. Don't cause any kind of embarrassment, shame, humiliation and disgrace to come upon us. Let us live in this world, O Allah, with respect, with honor and with dignity. And when you take us away from this world, let it be with respect and with honor. Allah, when we came to this world, then our parents were smiling, they were happy, our families were happy. O Allah, when we leave this world, then let us leave this world in such a state that we are happy and we leave people behind us crying. O Allah, let it not be such that people are happy that we depart from this world. Let our actions and akhlaq be such that, O Allah, they become sad and that we are leaving this world. At the time of our death, take us to Madina Tayyiba. Bless us with shahadat in Madina Tayyiba. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب